Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 8. Now, we talked about this verse last week. We're going to read those three verses that we looked at, and we're going to continue on from where we left off on Sunday. But Genesis chapter 8 says, while the earth remains, seed time, harvest time, and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Don't you like that? Seed time, harvest time. And that's what we're talking about. And that works in all areas. You know, we last week, Sunday, we talked about how the Word of God, everybody hold up your Bible. Say, this Bible is the Word of God. And it's seed. And the seed needs to be sown in my heart. And it needs to be watered by confessing it. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Now, then we looked at Psalm 107, because we were looking at the healing, and it says there, it said, he sent his word and healed them. Doesn't say he sent his word and healed some of them, those who he felt like. He healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He didn't deliver some from their destructions. He delivered all from their destructions. Everybody's been delivered. And the word destruction there means any habit, anything that's keeping you down that you can't break. He's delivered you. And he sent his word. So his word is what does the delivering. And the premise of what we were talking about last week was the fact that we need to plant the word in our heart. And after we plant the word in our heart, we need to water it. Okay? Then we looked at Mark chapter 11. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And I gave you the Pastor Anthony translation. And I'll explain it a little bit more. Some of you have heard it before. For assuredly I am setting in place building blocks. And that when he says, I say to you, he's saying, I'm giving you the building blocks to help you, all right? Setting in place building blocks for you that whoever commands this mountain, get back there, be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he commands will be done, he will have whatever comes out of his mouth. So again, Sunday, we were talking about the dominion principle, all right? And that words that are spoken in faith put pressure on your circumstance, okay? And we looked at the soil. We says the soil has very little to do with what's going to be produced, okay? The soil is your heart. You know, I like to use I'll tell you what, let me give you this illustration. Yeah, you know, when Sandy came, you had these big, big, big oak trees, man, that they just were pummeled down. Just Sandy came through, the rains came, and these things were uprooted. Some of them in the ground 100 years. You know, there was nothing wrong with the oak tree. Oak tree was fine. The soil. The soil that the oak tree was in got saturated, and the soil got weak, and the tree fell over. And it's the same thing with our faith. Our faith, once we're believing God, it's important. The soil has little to do with the production that's going to come out. It has to do with the seed that you have in there. And once that seed is planted and it starts to grow, we need to fertilize the soil and stuff. But if we don't take care of the soil, and we fertilize the soil by speaking the word of God, all right, not speaking doubt and unbelief that so many people do, but I'm talking about speaking God's word over your situation. That's what's going to keep your soil intact. Because if the soil gets saturated with doubt and unbelief, your faith is going to topple like the oak tree. Amen? So, but the determining factor in all of it is the seed. And the point I really want to bring across is this word is the seed. When it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that's a seed. incorruptible seed that's planted in your heart. It'll stay there, lay dormant, unless you do something. Unless you start speaking the word of God. And too many people aren't, a lot of people aren't speaking it. They're just not speaking it. They're complaining about it. They're woe is me. All types of things in their life. Something wrong? Oh, okay. Anyway, keep looking. Oh, I won't trip. I'll come back. Anyway, if you have your Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter 17. And Jesus makes a statement to the disciples here. All right? And the apostles said, Lord, increase our faith. I'm going to say something to you tonight that some people agree with and some people don't. But you got about as much faith as you're going to get. And you're not getting more faith. All right? People say, my faith has to grow. No. You got faith. You've got all the faith there is. You need to believe it. Are you listening to me? So he says, and the apostle said to him, Lord, increase our faith. He didn't say, give us more. He said, increase the faith we have. So that's that they were getting more faith. He says, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And I always hear people say, pray that I have more faith. Pray that, forget that. Take the faith you have and start watering the seed that's in your heart. You don't need more faith, all right? And he's basically telling them faith works like a seed. And the way you plant the seed is to say it. I might sound repetitive, but guess what? You need to hear it, all right? Now, there's a correlation between this and what the prophet Isaiah said, which we looked at Sunday. As the rain comes down from heaven, it forces the earth into production. Am I right? You know, the guys were at my house today, were putting seed down and doing some kind of stuff. He said it's going to rain. And that's good. Because it's going to force the seed that they threw down to produce, to make new grass grow. You follow me? So, and so he says, so shall be that goeth forth out of my mouth. See, when we speak it, it's seed to the sower. Mark chapter 4, maybe we'll look at that tonight, I'm not sure. But the seed has the spirit of life in it. It's life. You could take seed and put it on a shelf for years and years and years and years and years. Okay? And it won't do nothing. It'll just sit there and be a seed. You throw that in the ground, you put water on it. What's the water do? Forces the ground to do something with the seed. So the seed has the life in it, not the ground. Dirt is dirt. Okay? The seed's got the life in it. All right? Jesus said, man shall live not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That proceeds out of, I'm paraphrasing, okay? All right. So the word is our life source. I'm telling you, the word of God is like oxygen to our life. And Jesus says in John chapter 6, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They're spirit and they are life. Which brings up into a whole nother scenario about spirit, okay? See, everything's already done in the spirit realm for us. When Jesus hung on the cross, when he defeated Satan and made a show of him openly, everything was paid for. Healing, prosperity, everything. It's in the spirit realm. We need to reach into the spirit realm and get it out. And we do that by faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. You know, I always tell this story. I owned property on the west coast of Florida. Never saw it in my life. I paid $10,000 for it. Had a little piece of paper. Said it was mine. Never saw it. Held on to it. 10 years later, sold it for $100,000. Never laid my eyes on it, but it was my property. See, the promises are yours. You might not have laid your eyes on them yet, but they belong to you. Are you following me? All right. So the seed is full of life. It's called kingdom seed. Amen. It's called the word of the kingdom. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed shall sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. People say, I don't understand how this works. You don't have to understand. If you understood how it worked, it wouldn't be faith. We don't know how. Listen, do you really, you might be able to scientifically or however, whatever they do, tell me what makes a seed grow, but man, you don't know how it happens. You just don't know how it happens. Jesus even said, you sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed grows. It just grows. I don't understand it. How speaking God's promises changed my circumstances. Well, Jesus says you're not going to understand it, so don't get nervous over it. Just know it works. It works. Just go to bed, get up, and confess the word of God, and it will come to pass. He didn't mean for people to go out and quit their job and sit home and do nothing, because some people have that mentality too. I'm living by faith, and what I found out over 32 years is they're usually living by someone else's faith. But we don't have to quit our jobs or do anything like that. You don't have to fret. You don't have to fast. You don't have to worry about it. It's just simply sow the seed. Sow it. Go to bed. Get up. It's called the dominion principle. All right? See, and again, it's the constant pressure of the seed, the spoken word, all right? That pressure making a demand that brings the harvest that's desired. You got to pressure it. You know how bill collectors pressure you? They call you. You know when you see that 800 number ring on your phone, you just go, all right? It pressures you. What are they pressuring you to do? Produce. Think about that. They call you up. They pressure you to produce. They say, well, could you do this? Well, could you do this? They go through this whole litany of baloney, you know, to pressure you to do something. You need to pressure your circumstance by speaking to it. And it's going to bring a result. And you say, well, how do you do it? You sow the seed. You know, you say, thank God, my God has met my need. I'm proclaiming. Everybody say, I'm proclaiming in the name of Jesus that I have abundance and no lack. How many of you get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say that? Praise Jesus, I have abundance and I have no lack. Amen. No, you get up in the mirror, you look at your checkbook and you go, holy, holy cow, yeah, sure. No, that's what we do. But instead of getting up and say, God, I thank you. I have abundance. I don't have lack. I have the best job in town. If I get fired from that job, God, you got a better job for me. Amen. Whoa. You don't say that. That's water in your seed, just in case you don't understand what I'm... That's watering your seed. Right. Well, you know, I was making a deal. That deal didn't go through. Praise God, God's got a better deal. But see, unless you start watering, you know, it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen overnight. People just think, you know, well, does your watermelon plant grow overnight? No, it doesn't. So, you know, Abraham confessed for how many years before he saw Isaac? You know, Joseph was in prison for 14 years. We want it now. God, Pastor, I tried it for a week. It didn't work. No. It's not going to be a long night tonight either, okay? But, it's the authority of the Word of God. I could say it on God's authority, not me. I'm nothing. His Word has the authority. If I believe and not doubt in my heart, whatever I do will prosper. Okay? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. This is an interesting story. Maybe you'll get to see how this works a little bit if I explain it right. Okay? 1 Kings chapter 17. 12. What did I say? I meant 17. It's verse 12. Sorry about that. 1 Kings chapter 17. And familiar story. Elijah proclaims a drought, and we know that it didn't rain, and he was by a brook. It's amazing. When God says something and you believe it, God will supply. Do you know God supplied Elijah's need? For 3 years, he had the birds bring him food and water. What are you worrying about? Then he tells him, okay, you got to take a little trip to Zarephath. And over there in Zarephath, you're going to find a widow. And you're going to tell this widow to feed you. Problem is, they're in the middle of a drought. And when he finds the widow, he sent him to the widow. If you read the story, let's read down here. Okay. Then the word of the Lord, verse 8, let's start there. The word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. I have commanded a widow to provide for you. And so he arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. My glasses had to focus in here. So she said, as the Lord your God. You know why? As the Lord your God. She wasn't a Jew. She was a Gentile. But she knew he was a prophet. And she said to him, as the Lord your God, not her God. Your God liveth, okay? As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son that we may eat and die. She already made up her mind. She was dying. Amen? Now, and Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Now, here's the circumstance. No food. Here's the pressure. Go make me. He took the problem and put the pressure on it. You got to understand, God told him to go there because he had commanded this woman. He could have said, man, God must have made a mistake, wrong woman. Because she ain't exactly real happy about making me a cake here. But God said, I've commanded her to make you a cake. So what's he doing? He's taking the word of God and he's putting pressure on his circumstances. Now guess what? She's got to take the word of Elijah, the man of God, and put pressure on the circumstance. Hello? You're there, you're gone home. All right, so. And Elijah said to her, do not fear, go. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall a jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. They didn't have the Bible like we have. He was a prophet, and she even said, as your God lives. So now he's the mouth speak. He is the word of God speaking, okay? Now she either is going to believe it or not. The minute she believes it, now she has to put pressure on the circumstance and do something. And we go down here. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. We could say she did according to the word of the Lord, because he says up there, thus says the Lord, okay? Did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. So what we have here, he said, bring me a drink, bring me a cake. Now, he's putting pressure on the circumstance. He's speaking to her, but now she's got to decide, what am I going to do? Her first reaction was, that's not going to work. But he turns around and he speaks the word again to her. And she's obedient to the word. And all this is putting pressure on a circumstance. And guess what? Thank God she was obedient, because they all lived, they ate, and everybody was happy until the rain came. Hello? So we have the circumstance putting pressure on the prophet, but he put the pressure on a circumstance. Now the pressure's on the widow, and when she was obedient to Elijah's word, she put the pressure back on the word of the Lord, and they all lived happily ever after. Why don't we get that? Why do we keep looking at, you know, the continuous negative news in all, that's CNN, okay? But anyhow, but why do we look at that stuff and we worry about that and we look at the interest rates and we're worrying about this and we're worrying about that? God is so much bigger. And he's faithful. And like I said, it doesn't happen instantaneously. They went on for 3 years using that oil and that flour till God sent rain. What I talked about, the dominion principle, puts pressure on a circumstance with the word of God. And you could do it the same way. You can. God's word is given to you as seed for what you need. You have all the seed. You have a seed for every problem you have. Every need you have, Every financial thing, whatever you have seed. Whole book of seed. It's time to start planting your seed. Okay? You need to plant it, all right? And it will make a demand on the kingdom within you. And that's the soil. All right? And your heart, well, your heart is the kingdom, okay? But your faith is not going to rise any higher than the confession of the Word of God. You remember, I believe it was last Wednesday night, I says, you could have what you say, but as long as you could say what you have, as long as you keep saying what you have, you'll never have, I forgot how I said it. But anyway, you know, people keep saying what they have. They don't say what the Word says. Abraham called things that were not as though they were. And that goes against your natural way of thinking. And some people sitting in here right now are going, he's nuts. You can tell me what you want. You can call me what you want. Your faith will not rise any higher than the stuff that comes out of your mouth. All right? The promises of God will never become a reality in your life unless you plant them by speaking them into your heart. Okay? It's seed. It's seed. You know, let me ask you a question. If you have crabgrass in your yard, what's the best way to get rid of crabgrass? Just keep planting more seed. You don't have to go get Scott's dandelion killer and all that baloney that kills everything else with it. Just keep putting seed down. Eventually that seed is going to overtake the crabgrass and the dandelions and everything else that's growing on your lawn. Just throw seed down. Just keep putting seed. How are you going to overcome your circumstance? Just keep putting seed. Keep planting seed. Keep watering the seed. Plant more seed. Water your seed. And you keep doing it. You know, it's amazing. Grass don't come up overnight. Is anybody ever, unless you planted zoysia grass, did anybody ever throw seed out on their front lawn and the next day had a whole... I didn't think so. It's because you didn't say, well, why do we do this? Because as we speak, faith comes. Because faith comes by what? Hearing the Word of God. And hearing. You know? That's why it's necessary that you continue to speak the Word of God. It's not going to work just because you say it. See, so what happened was years back, people just said, well, if I say it enough times, it's just not going to happen. You could get a parrot to say it. It's not going to happen. And then, but people think that's what confession is. Well, I'm just going to confess this away. No, you're not. You need to believe it. You need to believe it's a reality. And people just... Saying is involved in it, in the principle, but just saying is not going to change the circumstance. It's the seed that's going to change the circumstance. It's the seed that puts pressure on the soil, and that demands a harvest. So shall the word that comes out of my mouth from heaven, it shall accomplish what it is. You know, Doug Jones, who was an instructor at Rhema, and he's the head of their ministerial association. We were talking one time. I don't know if we went to lunch. I don't know how to, but I don't know if he preached it or probably taught it. But in any event, he was talking about how there's so much seed that people have sown. in the body of Christ. And they just got weary and they stopped confessing the word of God. And that seed never came, grew up. Just never grew. They planted it. They just as it was getting ready to germinate and sprout, they stopped. So there it is. It's all laying dormant. I'll tell you, there's people who've had hands laid on them that literally have the healing power of God resident on the inside of them right now, and that the healing's never manifested in their life. You know why? Because they've been speaking doubt and unbelief over it. So here we have all this power that's been ministers laid hands on. Once that power goes in, it's there. It doesn't go away. But we need to speak. We need to water it. Amen? Because it, and that's what he said too. When he said that, I said, wow, never thought of it like that. But it's so true. It's not, again, it's not just the saying. The saying is the watering. But that, and that seed has to grow into believing. And really, the principle is so simple. All through the Bible, we see that the word of God is seed. Jesus talks about it. And you sow it by speaking it into your heart. And here's what people say. They go, but what if I say it and it doesn't happen? I have people tell me that all the time. What if I speak it and it doesn't happen? Well, what if you said all the negative things you said and they did happen? Think about all the negative things you've said that happened in your life. Just think about it. Okay? I'd rather say what God said and get half of it than say what the devil says and get all of it. I mean, I'd just rather get a half a loaf, you know what I'm saying? But there's always somebody's going to say it, and I've heard it. I've been 32 years is going to be June 10th, and there's always someone who will say, yeah, but so-and-so, and it didn't work, and but you know what? I don't base my faith on someone else's experience. I had a person one time that read an article in a magazine. And they were believing God that the same thing was going to happen to them. And it didn't happen. And they got all bent out of shape. And I'm saying, you're basing that it didn't happen to you on their experience that happened to them. Right? That's what people do. That doesn't work. Brother Hagin would say, that's stupidity gone to seed. But I'm basing my faith on God's word. God's word said he's going to prosper me. God's word said he's going to prosper this church. And it's going to happen. I'm like Peter says, nevertheless. You know, in Luke, matter of fact, let's go over to Luke chapter 5 for a minute. We got a couple minutes here. I don't want to watch it before. I love this. And Peter just half-baked believed Jesus, really, okay? And verse 1, so it was as the multitude pressed against him to hear the word of God. I like that. They pressed against Jesus to hear the word of God. Wow. Think about that. And he stood by the lake of that lake. And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little bit from land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, Simon, launch out into the deep and cast down your nets. Everybody say nets. Great. For a catch. But Simon answered him and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Jesus even honored his half-baked faith. Because Jesus said, let down your nets. And they had, and it goes on, they had such a catch that they had to call their partners. Oh, wouldn't it be great? And I do a teaching about partnership in the church. Wouldn't it be great if Annie put down her net and she had to call all of us to come and help her with the harvest? Some of you need to start putting down your net and stop playing around with everything else. But there was such a catch, they had to call their partners over. The net was breaking. Jesus said, put down your nets. Hello? See, the word comes down from heaven and it will accomplish what it's supposed to do. And that's exercising that dominion principle. By speaking God's word, constantly speaking God's word. Make your confession on the authority of the word of God. Amen? Not someone else's experience. I don't care what happened to sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. My thing is not based on what happened to them. Because if I'm basing my experience on what happened to them, then I don't believe what this says. I believe visually what's happening. I don't believe by faith what the word says. Praise God. You've got to base them on what Jesus said. Amen? And hold fast to your confession. Like I said before, I'd rather say what Jesus said and get half than say what the devil said and get all of it. I'll tell you that right now. I think about that all the time, you know? And you know what? Here's a little bit of a danger. We still want to do everything in our own power and our own ability to change things. We want to help God. You know what I've learned out? God don't need your help. He don't need my help. But see, what happened is we put our trust in our ability. That's exactly opposite of what Ephesians says. It says, be strong in the power of the Lord and in the power of his might. And that word might over in Ephesians chapter 6 is the word ability. It's his ability. It's not, we don't have the ability to change anything. We really don't. We just don't do it. You can confess it a gazillion times. You know what? You could confess the sun to stand still a gazillion times. But if God tells you to tell the sun to stand still, you could be rest assured the sun is going to stand still. How do I know that? He told Joshua. And that whole scenario played out when the man went into outer space. They had to figure all the scientific data to get them back into the Earth's atmosphere at the right time. And they had it all figured out, but they lost 15 minutes. They couldn't find 15 minutes. Until some guy who was working at NASA gave him a Bible story where God turned the sun's shadow back 15 minutes. I think it was Hezekiah. It wasn't Hezekiah. And they plugged that into their computers. Boom. We went to the moon and we came back. So if God says it, it'll happen. If you believe his word, it'll happen. Your ability is nothing. Put your trust in God, his ability. The word of God says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I hear a lot of testimonies, but I don't hear any word in them. How God did it. How I believed God and God came through. That's the word in your testimony. I stood on the word, and the word worked. That's the word in your testimony. Too many people want to live by past experiences. Well, I know what the word says, but here's what happened to me. I could tell you a lot of things that happened to me. It don't change the word. Word don't change. If anything messed up, me messed up. But people don't ever want to admit me messed up. But it's the truth. Let me tell you something. I learned a long time ago, whatever happened to me didn't change the word of God. All right? This is what happened over the, and see, when the word of first faith message came out, people were speaking the word of God constantly. But now we're like, that was in the 70s, late 70s, 80s, and into the 90s. Then churches started to develop, word of faith churches. And they got real churchy. No. Real churchy. And they started out with the word of God, and then they got sidetracked. We want to become user friendly. We don't want to offend anybody with the Holy Spirit. Oh, dear God, don't let Sister Blabbermouth prophesy because we have a guest in church. You don't know what's going to happen. Well, keep it on the down low. Don't bring Shekinah glory in because they're crazy. Well, if you think they're crazy, stay home. Amen. Because there's a lot of other people that'll get blessed by them. But see, that's what's happened. And we kind of stepped back. Am I right? Yeah. And now people are starting to hunger and thirst for the gifts of the Spirit to start moving in the church again. Amen. But we got a whole generation of people who stepped back from it because we wanted to have 40,000 people in our church, you know? Like, must be God. No, it must be 40,000 problems. Amen. You know, I was reading something the other day about all these pastors that are like making $20 million a year. They have 40,000 people in their church. And you know, my question is, how do they pastor 40,000 people? Do they even know who they are? Oh, but they have pastoral staff and they all this. Yeah, but so, you know what? I'll just get 40,000 people together to get a new speaker up here every week. Because basically that's it. Thank you. What happens, they start preaching experiences instead of preaching the word. Let me tell you, just so you understand this, and we'll close. You guys get ready. Some things are going to happen to you in life that don't agree with what you're confessing. Amen? Amen. Some things are going to happen to you. You're going to be confessing, and it's not agreeing with your confessing or what you're believing. But I just want you to know this. Number one, it don't change the word of God. And number two, Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to the Lord. Because people often, you know, ask, why did this happen to so-and-so? Well, you don't know why some of these things happen to so-and-so. You just don't know why. None of us know why. And to pretend that we do know why makes us more ignorant. Because we don't know why. We just know that the secret things belong to the Lord. And so you're going to face challenges. You're going to be confessing the Word of God, and things are not just going to go away to the way you thought they were. But that doesn't change the Word of God. The Word of God is still the Word of God. But I will tell you, if you hold fast to God's Word and continue to plant it, it will eventually change what you're experiencing in life. It will change what you're experiencing in life. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.